Okay, so the structure of the league. The league was divided into different branches. One of these was the Assembly, which was effectively the league's parliament. Every country in the league was a member of this group. And they would meet once a year, and they would be able to vote on new members coming into the league, particular business, the budget of the league, financial matters, that sort of thing. But clearly, as they only met once a year, decisions couldn't be taken by that group in all situations. So there was another group who met, which was the Council. Now, the Council was a group of at least sort of four or five countries. Sometimes it would grow to seven or eight. And they would meet five times a year, but they would also meet in emergencies. Now, the Council was made up of four permanent members, who were Britain, France, Japan and Italy. And then from time to time, other members would be elected into the council on a temporary basis. Now, each council member also had the right to a veto. Now, effectively, this vote, this one veto, could block the league's actions. So other members could agree to do something, but a council member could veto it, could block it. Strengths and weaknesses to having a veto. Okay, now there was the Secretariat, who effectively did all the bureaucracy or the paperwork for the League of Nations, effectively a league civil service. There was also a permanent Court of International Justice who would meet and look at evidence about border disputes and these sorts of things, as well as an International Labour Organization who gathered evidence and tried to create better conditions effectively across the world for working people. And then there was a section known as the League of Nations Commissions. So there was, for example, was a Refugees Committee, a Slavery Commission, a Health Committee that looked at individual single issues and tried to improve them across the world. Now, when you look at the structure, you'll notice that there are particular weaknesses, especially certain members who are missing. So we have America, who is an obvious candidate who should have been in the League of Nations, but who wasn't there. Also, Germany was not allowed to enter the league until it could prove it was a peace-loving nation. So they did join, but later left. And the USSR only joined later into the league. So although the league does appear to have a fairly clear structure, actually there are particular weaknesses within it, which, as we go through the 1920s and 1930s, we'll see come to the fore and actually undermine the league's abilities to keep peace. Thank you.